Yes, he is exalted far above the earth and sky, and we know how great he is, and we're thankful to our Lord, and we're glad to sing praises unto him tonight. You know, people were singing praises to the Lord in the Old Testament times, and we're still doing that thousands and thousands of years later. God still wants us to be a singing people. Good to see each and every one of you this evening. We had a wonderful morning. We had a lot of visitors this morning, and we were very thankful for all of them. Now tonight, we want to talk, last Sunday night, we talked about the 17 sins that would keep you out of heaven listed in Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. They were called the works of the flesh, and they which do such things, the Bible says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we want to talk about overcoming sin now tonight, and we want to have a short few weeks study about sin tonight. We want to talk about overcoming that sin. Now, sin's our problem, and we just need to realize that. In Isaiah 53, it talks about the suffering Savior and how he was, it says he was despised, verse 3, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, sin's our problem. It's been that since the days of the Garden of Eden. And sin's man's problem. And what sin will do, it will keep us out of heaven. That's why we want to overcome it. We're interested in overcoming sin. We can't say that we have no sin. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us, the Bible says. And another thing about sin is Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, a great old passage that tells us the impact of sin. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God doesn't have a problem. His arm doesn't have a problem. His ear doesn't have a problem. He can save you. He can hear you. That's not the problem, God's arm and God's ear. Here's the problem, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And so the problem is us. That's why Jesus left heaven to come to this earth, because of sin. Sin's a major problem, and we struggle with it every day. Satan's after us all the time. We struggle with it, and we want to know the best way to overcome sin, because we know it will keep us out of heaven, and we do not want to be kept out of heaven. We want to be in heaven with our Lord. So tonight we want to mention several things that will help us to overcome sin. Number one, let's turn to Psalm chapter 119, longest chapter, longest book in the Bible, the longest chapter in the book. And this book will tell us how to keep sin out of our lives. In this chapter of Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Young men are very subject to the things that goes on in this world. "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." How can he cleanse his way? God's word. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And then verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so we do not want to sin. Well, what's the remedy for it? God's word in your heart. This word was designed to go inside of our heart, in our heads, in our minds, to keep us from sin. God's word in your heart. The Bible says it right there. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's how we do that. Now, why do we have preaching? Why does the church have preaching? To get God's word into our hearts. Why do we have Bible class? Why do we have gospel meetings? Why do we have summer Bible camps where they teach God's word very soundly there? Why do we do that? So that we can instill God's word in our hearts. And it's imperative that we do that. Notice verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. How do you hide God's word in your heart? Well, the Bible says, meditate. Notice verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know, we have to have the right attitude toward the word of God. When somebody says, let's go to Bible class, we don't go, nah. Well, you don't delight in God's word. You need to change your attitude. You know, we need to delight in the word of God. We need to be acceptive of it. We need to realize the power of it in our lives. And we do not need to forget it. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Don't forget the word of God. Now, we do forget. That's why we have the written book, the written page. Because we can go back and read it and read it and read it over and over again. And there are so many beautiful passages in the Bible that give us a positive perspective on each day. I was just noticing the other day that this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. We will be glad and rejoice in it. It's a day that, so that's a positive thing. You know, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. So out of our heart, we need to keep our heart. Keep your heart. How do you keep your heart? You put the word of God in your heart. And then the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, how am I going to be a holy person? How am I going to be a righteous person? Well, it depends on how you think in your heart. And if you have the Word of God in your heart, you're going to be thinking the way the Bible teaches you to think. And so we want to hide the Word of God in our heart. Let's read our Bibles much, much more. Let's study our Bibles so much more. Let's not be missing Bible class. And I don't think this particular group of people misses Bible class. But let's don't miss Bible class. Let's always come to Bible class so we can learn more. And let's open up our Bibles at home and read them and meditate upon them. You know, the blessed man of Psalm 1, his delight was in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then that next verse says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That sounds great to me, don't it, you? And so God's word needs to be in our hearts, and it will keep us from sin. It's kind of like you have a glass here, and the more water you put in the glass out of the pitcher, I've got a pitcher in this hand, and you're pouring water, and the more you fill it up, the less room there is for anything else. And so if you fill that glass full, there's no room for anything else. It's full. And the same is true with your mind. If you'll fill your mind with the Word of God and with the righteous precepts of God, there will not be any more room for anything else. And so let us be sure that we study our Bibles. But here's another thing that will help us with sin. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, the great Sermon on the Mount. A lengthy sermon by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this sermon, he teaches people how to pray. And he says in chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. I want you to pray like this, he says. Our Father which art in heaven. So this is how I want you to pray. You pray to the Father in heaven. Notice the Father has a location. Our Father which art in heaven. And notice our Father has a quality and a character that we need to recognize when we pray. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, that shows we depend on God. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so we do transgress from time to time, and so we can ask for forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. For if you forgive men, I've skipped something there. Let's see. Verse 13. I'm sorry. How did I skip over that? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prayer can help us. Filling our hearts or filling our minds with the Word of God, but also prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or I think one way it's rendered is deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the devil. The devil is after us. And so Jesus said, do this. I want to overcome sin in my life, and so I'm going to do what Jesus said to do. I'm going to ask the Father to lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. You know, we're to always be praying. We were talking about that this morning, that Jesus was a praying man. And we need to fill our days with prayer. And nothing be anxious. You know, sometimes we worry about things, but the Bible says, and nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests made known unto God. And the peace of God, God answers prayer. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so let's be a praying people, and let's pray, lead us not into temptation. The tongue that says, lead us not into temptation, is not joined to a leg that goes off to rob a store. Those two don't go together. You ever notice that? People who are praying do not have feet that run to mischief. People that pray are not cussers. People that pray are not worldly people. And so we need to be praying. And when we pray, we're going to live a righteous life. You know, speak to God every day. The way you have a relationship with someone, anyone, friend, just a casual acquaintance, the way you have a relationship, you don't have a relationship unless there's communication. Did you know that? You have to have, you can't ignore someone and say, yeah, I'm a good friend of that person over there. Well, do you ever talk to them? No, I never talk to them. I never acknowledge them. Well, you can't have a relationship like that. The only way to have a relationship is you speak to them, they speak to you. That's how you have a relationship with your wife or your kids or anybody, with your friends at work or whatever. You have a relationship by communication. So let's communicate to God through prayer, and let God communicate to us through His Word. Let God speak to you with His Word. That's how we have a relationship with God, is we let Him speak to us and we speak to Him. And so let's be speaking to Him every day, and let's let Him be speaking to us through His Word every day. But another thing that we can do to help keep sin out of our lives is self-examination. We just had the Lord's Supper served. Did you know that we're supposed to do that during the taking of the Lord's Supper? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the very thing that it says. It says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. So that's talking about the Lord's Supper, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 11. And then look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You know, the way that we keep sin out of our lives is, but we look into our lives. So when we're taking the Lord's Supper, we should be saying, did I tell a lie this week? Did I deceive someone this week? Was I truthful? We examine ourselves. Did I cuss any this week? Oh, yeah, I remember on Tuesday I got mad. And you know, examine yourselves. That's what the Bible says to do. And when we wouldn't need to check ourselves out. Did I lie? Did I cuss? Did I deceive? Did I say something wrong? We need to be examining ourselves. Look at 2 Corinthians 13 in verse number 5. This passage really says the same thing. You know, how have I been doing today? How have I prayed today? Examine yourself. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves. You know, it's your duty, not mine. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Reprobates means a reject. You don't want to be a reject. And so we need to look at our lives. Do I have God? Do I have the faith that I should have? Am I doing what I should be doing? You know, we're really talking about how to make it to heaven. You know, if I'm careless, and, you know, sometimes we are careless with our lives. We don't pray. We don't read the Bible. We don't do the things that we should. We let ourselves kind of get loose and lax and lukewarm. And we're not to do that. By the way, that's another thing. Look at your life and say, am I lukewarm? Am I just a so-so Christian, a mediocre Christian? I don't want to do that. God doesn't like that, by the way. And so examine yourselves and don't do this. Turn back a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Don't compare yourself with someone who's commending themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, I'm not your standard. You're not my standard. Christ is the standard. And so let's not say, well, I examined my life and, well, I'm not doing as bad as old brother so-and-so over there. Well, I'm better than old sister so-and-so over there. No, don't compare yourselves. Don't measure yourselves with yourselves. When we examine ourselves based upon the true standard, and that is the Word of God. And so if we'll study our Bibles and fill our hearts with the Word of God, if we'll be prayerful every day and ask God to lead us not into temptation, if we're looking into our lives every day, how did I do today? Did I pray enough today? I need to pray some more. Let me take some time right now and pray. You might say, well, yeah, but I usually pray at the end of the day. Well, it don't have to be the end of the day. You don't have to have it like that every time. You can pray before the end of the day, and then you can pray at the end of the day too. So we can just pray all of the time. It's what the Bible says. Pray all the time. But let's have something else here in our lives. I think this is very important. We probably don't talk about it enough. And let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's have a good, healthy, reverential fear of God. That's what the Bible says. What's wrong with Washington? What's wrong with the media? There is no fear of God in their mind whatsoever. Anybody that would make a vulgar movie or a vulgar song or anything, anybody that would do immoral stuff like aborting babies, they have no, absolutely no fear of God. They don't believe they're going to give an accounting of their lives. Now, I like this verse because it's just so, somebody says, I can't understand the Bible. You can understand this statement. 1 Peter 2 and 17, honor all men. Do I have to honor people I don't like? Honor all men. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that. We've got to do it. Honor all men. You can do it and I can do it. Yeah, but I don't like that man over there. Well, you better love him. The Bible teaches us to do that. Love the brotherhood. If you love the brotherhood, you're not going to be criticizing it, haranguing it, and running it down. You know, if you run the church down, oh, there's just a bunch of hypocrites down there. You are affecting your attitude toward the church. You are destroying your attitude toward the church. You're not going to, you don't please the Lord that way. The Lord wants a glorious church, a church without spot, without wrinkle. He wants a glorious church. He wants the best for it. And so let's give it the best. But let's go on to this verse. Then here's just two words, and there's no way you can misunderstand these two words. Fear God. Honor the king. Well, the king's no good. Well, very rarely is the king any good anyway. It doesn't say, honor the good kings. Honor the kings you like. It doesn't say that. Back in those days, they had really wicked emperors, and they were supposed to honor them. But anyway, fear God. And then let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and look at this. This is an attitude that we're required to have. Look at the last two verses of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably. How do you do that acceptably? Well, you do that with reverence and godly fear. That's acceptably unto God. Reverence and godly fear. And then the next verse, for our God is a consuming fire. Remember old Nadab and Abihu? They didn't fear God. They offered a strange fire, and God sent fire down and destroyed them. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? God sent fire down and destroyed them. Our God's a consuming fire. You know what hell is? Hell's a consuming fire. It's a fire. And so we need to have a fear of God. We need a good, healthy fear of God. You know, we're going to stand before Him. And by the way, that's what it says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we've done in this body, whether it's good or bad, according to what we have done. Wherefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. What terror? The terror that you're going to stand before Him and be judged. You know, if we realize that, you're going to be judged before God. It should make us behave better. It should make us act better. I'm going to stand before God, and I need to fear Him and respect Him. And this will help us to not sin. I was in the fifth grade, and this kid named Larry Jackson, we walked to his house. It's a long way to his house. And he kept telling me all the way up to there, to his house, he goes, now when we get to that house, there's a bad dog there. There's a bad dog, man. He'll come out and he'll chase you. You got to run. You got to run hard. That old bad dog, he'll get you. So we're about to get there, and he kept building it up, you know. And we got just about up to that house, man. I broke and run the opposite direction. He done scared me of that dog, boy. I ran home. And so we need to be afraid of God. We need to have a good, healthy fear of God, and we won't trespass against our God. But here's something else. And I think this is very, very important that will keep us from sin. Very important. Other people are looking to you. If you're a husband or a wife, your kids are looking to you. You're an example to them. They're looking to you. They're depending on you. Your family depends on you not to sin. You don't need to stop at a liquor store and buy a bottle of liquor or go to a gambling casino. Your family's counting on you. Your wife is counting on you. You don't need to be flirting with some woman. Your wife is depending on you. Don't ever do that. And so if we know people are looking at us and depending on us, we can't afford to sin. I can't afford to let my kids down. And by the way, the church is depending on you. The church is depending on its elders. You know, we mentioned a moment ago, Jesus said He wants a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And so all of us, we're trying to live that way, aren't we? All of us are trying to live pure. We know the Lord wants us to be without spot, without blemish. And so we can't afford to let everybody else down. Don't let your brothers and sisters down. Elders should never let anybody down. Deacons, women in the church, wives, mothers in the church. Don't let people down. People are looking to you. As if you're a teacher, they're looking up to you. And so we have a responsibility. I read a story one time about these three boys. They were in a little town. It was late at night. And they said, let's break into that store. And so they were waiting for everything to close down. And the old courthouse rang out 10 gongs for 10 o'clock. And so two of those boys started off, and that other boy, he stayed back. And they said, come on, aren't you going with us? He said, I can't. My mother's praying for me right now. Isn't that something? My mother's praying for me right now. I can't go rob that store. I can't let her down. And that's really the attitude that we need to have. Don't let people down. People are depending on you. It's not just you. You influence so many other people. And I think that's very important. An important factor in our lives. But furthermore, and important as well, God is omniscient. God is everywhere. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's interested in you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And He's always watching you. In this passage of Psalm 139, I've read it quite a few times. It's amazing. But it ought to make us walk without sin, because God is constantly watching us. He's interested in us. We should be glad that He's watching us. Verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God even knows the thoughts in our heads. So that's an incentive for us to keep our thoughts pure. If I'm thinking something bad, hateful, wicked, I'll say, get that up. No, can't do that. God's watching my thoughts. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. So when we go to bed tonight, He watches that. And art acquainted with all my ways. There's nothing He doesn't know. He knows if you like fishing, if you like whatever, ping pong. He knows all of that. And He knows, for there is not a word, verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. You can't even say a word without God knowing it. That's why we don't ever want to cuss or lie or anything with our tongues. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Yeah, these guys go out and they're going to do something bad. And they'll look that way and see if anybody's watching. And they'll look that way and see if anybody's watching. They'll look behind them and see if anybody's watching. But you know, they fail one direction. They fail to look up. God's always watching. You see these videos? People coming up on someone's porch. And they got a camera right there. Camera's watching you when you come up on their porch. They got cameras at these houses. They got cameras on the stores. They got cameras on the streets. And those cameras are watching all the time. Well, God's watching all the time like those cameras. He sees every move we make, every thought we think, every word we say. And the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I can't. I don't know. How does God do that? You know, there's 7 billion people. He knows every word. He knows every thought. He knows every action. He knows everything of 7 billion people going on at the same time. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Isn't that comforting right there? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Darkness doesn't cover anything from God. You ever see those night vision cameras and stuff? You know, God can see better than those night vision cameras can. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So let's remember that God is watching every move we make. There's nothing that he does not see. There is nothing that he does not hear. You can whisper it in the lowest voice that you can, but God will hear. And so let's remember, God is watching. God is watching. But let's remember also to keep good companions. I like what Jay had to say Wednesday night on peer pressure. And I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and read verse 33. And the Bible tells us that we're to have good companions. Look at this verse. Now, look at the first three words. Be not deceived. Evil communications or evil companions corrupt good manners or good morals. In other words, if you hang around a bunch of people that cuss and drink and smoke and all that, you're going to do the same. Oh, no, I'm not. Well, you're not more powerful than Solomon. You're not. You may think you're more powerful than Solomon, but Solomon, he didn't think he was going to be influenced by the women that he surrounded his life with. And those women, every one of those women turned his heart away from God to their own gods. Be not deceived. Oh, that'll never happen to me, famous last words. I'll never do that. I'll never be influenced by these evil people. Yeah, they're my friends. I hang around with them all the time. But I'm not going to become like them. Famous last words. You can't reverse what God's Word says. You can't prove it wrong. No one's ever proved God's Word is wrong. You cannot do it. If you hang around with the wrong people, you're going to wind up doing the wrong things. And so, you know, I don't know what it is, but I know people who pick the wrong friends every time. You ever know anybody like that? Their lives is messed up. It's a mess. Why? They pick the wrong people. They pick the wrong spouse. They pick the wrong friends. And you know, if you pick the wrong friends, you can wind up in prison. Just like that. You pick the wrong friends. I knew a guy one time, this kid said, take me over to this chemical plant. I'm going to get some chemicals and I'm going to poison my dad. And he said, I didn't think he meant it. But I went to his trial, the one that just carried him over there. He didn't poison anybody. He just carried the kid over to pick up the poison. And he was convicted of an accessory to murder. He picked the wrong people to run around with and wound up in prison. And so this is serious and important for us to listen to. But there are many other things that we can do to keep ourselves from sin, but these are some of them. But I want to mention one other very briefly, and that is this. Keep in mind, your life can end any day. Your life can end any day, and if you're living the wrong way and your life ends, I can stand here and just, you could be killed by a flood. And how many times have we seen people got in that water with their car and then they washed them? And that happens all the time. You'd be killed by a fire. Probably go home tonight and turn our news on and there's a fire. Two died in the fire. You can be killed in one of these mass shootings at a McDonald's or whatever. I mean, there's thousands of ways to die. Car wreck, whatever. A health issue. Fall out of a tree or fall off a porch or something. Anything can happen. Just a little fall. And by the way, let's say you just fell a little bit and bumped your head and you didn't die, but you was in a coma the rest of your life. I mean, just anything can happen. And know this also. I don't want to be too scary about this. But an act of God can take you out of this world. Like in Acts 5, verses 1 through 11, there was Ananias and Sapphira, and they lied. And they defended their lie before an apostle, and God struck them dead right there on the spot. I've had people say, oh, that was a day of miracles. Well, you're right, it was a day of miracles. But I know God can take people out. I believe that with all my heart. He can end your life. It may be by an airplane crash or what. But by the way, talking about an airplane crash, you might say, I'm never in a plane. You know, a plane can crash into your car. Have you ever seen any of those? The plane crashes into the car. You're not even in the plane. And so we must live the right way every day. Study your Bible, pray, Examine yourself. Have a good, healthy fear of God. Realize that other people are depending on you to live righteously. And know that God is watching you all of the time. Keep the very best of friends. Have Christian friends, really. And remember that each day that we are alive on this earth, could possibly be our last day. And that's an incentive for us to keep sin out of our lives each and every day. And so it's good to be here tonight to talk about these things. This lesson's good for me. And, you know, I preached on hell many times. And every time I have in gospel meetings and things, I'll say, I needed that lesson. I need that lesson on hell. So we need to be warned, and we need to be admonished, and we need to be forewarned about things. And it'll help us to live the very best that we can. And I know you're trying to, and I want to commend you. You're giving your best to try to live in a way pleasing unto God. And I just want to encourage you to keep it up. We're all going to be in heaven someday, Lord willing, by His mercy and by His goodness and by His kindness, we'll be in heaven. We won't deserve it. We don't deserve His Son coming to die for our sins. We won't deserve heaven. But through His mercy and His goodness, He'll save us if we're faithful. And that's what this lesson's about, for us to be faithful. Now, if you haven't been faithful, you examined yourself tonight, you've realized the danger that you're in, please come forward and please ask us to help you and pray for you and strengthen you and encourage you. If you've never obeyed the gospel before in your life, we want to help you and assist you to do exactly what they did in the Bible. They would hear gospel preaching. They would be pricked in their heart, as they were in Acts 2. When they were pricked in their heart, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" This lesson tonight could have pricked your heart tonight. And you're not a Christian tonight. And you say, "What shall we do?" And we just repeat the words that the inspired apostle Peter said. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Watch this. "For the remission of those sins." For the remission of your sins. That's why what you need to do tonight, what 3,000 did in the long ago, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and there was added to them that day about 3,000 souls. Wouldn't that be incredible to see that many people being baptized? If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and sing?